Hi there, it's Melvin. Just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Thrizer for supporting this month's podcast sessions. Thrizer is a payment platform that you have to check out if you are a private pay therapist and accepting out-of-network benefits. It basically helps clients save on therapy upfront. Thrizer can help verify a client's out-of-network benefit ahead of the first session so that they get transparency up front on what their out-of-pocket costs will be. I'll tell you more about Thrizer here in the middle of our session, but if you go to sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, you actually and then enter the code STC upon sign up, you get your first $2,500 in fees waived. Again, that's over at sellingthecouch.com/Thrizer, and be sure to enter the promo code STC. So we'll jump right into today's podcast session. Hi there. Welcome to session 75 of Selling the Couch. Hope you're having a great week. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode. Today, we're going to talk about a very important topic, that is the idea or the practice of incorporating sliding scale into your private practice. My guest is Paul Fugelsang. Paul, if you haven't heard his name, Paul is a clinician, but he's also the founder of Open Path Collective, which is a company, a service that allows clinicians to be connected to individuals that need sliding scale fees. You know, I wanted to have Paul on the podcast because I think as much as we talk about private practice and the importance of doing well financially, I think for many of us, we got into this profession because of the want to give back, the want to help a world that really is in need. And Paul had this idea to create a platform that allowed clinicians to do just that and to be able to connect with individuals and provide therapeutic services. Today's session of Selling the Couch, we're going to cover a number of things, including what are some of the reasons to have a sliding scale, or at least some sliding scale slots in your private practice, and what are some of the ways to actually standardize a sliding scale policy. And then we're also going to talk about, and this is something that I've struggled with, is how do you actually determine what percentage of your private practice that you want to have as sliding scale? We'll get right to today's conversation because I think it's an important one. So here is my conversation with Paul Fugelsang from openpathcollective.org. Hi, Paul. Welcome to Selling the Couch.
Hi, Melvin. Nice to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to our conversation. I feel like we're going to be talking about incorporating sliding scale into a practice, and I know that a conversation we have not yet had on the podcast. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Same here.
What are some of the reasons to actually have sliding scale in a practice? I thought we could just start there.
Sure. I think the two main reasons, I think this can be broken down into the practical and the philosophical. I'll start with the philosophical. I'm reading a book right now by Harry Frankfurter about equality in the United States. The book is called On Inequality. And his general thesis is that instead of trying to create a culture where everyone has the exact equal amount of access to goods and services, that what we should be doing instead is create tolerance for inequality while making sure that the people on the bottom are lifted to a place where they have access to everything basic that someone would need to live a comfortable life. So it's a fairly controversial subject. And for me, either way, on either side that one might fall on that argument, I do believe that people should have access to basic human necessities. And I think that our culture has evolved to a place where mental health can be included in that list. So for me, philosophically, I do believe that everyone should have access to good mental health care. And this is where my responsibility comes in as a private practitioner. I can do my small part to make sure that is at least happening, or at least that more people are getting access than would be if I wasn't contributing. So that's my philosophical background for why sliding the scale, I think, is very important. In terms of the practical, as you probably know, and many of your listeners know, when we're starting a private practice, it can take many years to get it up and off the ground to a place where we have a very comfortable number of clients that we're seeing on a weekly basis. And one way to speed that process up is to see people for a lower fee. So the way this typically works is that when people start their practice, it's quite easy and quite practical to see people on a sliding scale instead of sitting in one's office alone hitting refresh on Gmail. As it works out, however, the busier we get in our careers, the less practical it becomes to see people on a sliding scale. So what I typically do, what I've done in my own career, now that I have a fairly busy private practice, is that now that it's no longer practical for me the way it once was, I fall back on my philosophical inclinations. And I do believe that it's my ethical responsibility to see at least a few people in my practice.
Yeah, on a sliding scale. I think you're bringing up a good point, which is when we're starting out in private practice, if we start with the orientation or the framework of thinking, how can I serve everyone, right? We're more likely to carry that perspective as we get busier and as our practice evolves.
Sure, I believe that.
Just transitioning a little bit, what are some ways that you can almost standardize a sliding scale policy? I don't know if that quite makes sense, but...
No, that makes sense. So people have different thoughts on this and how they do it. Some people find it really helpful to have a standardized system. Other people might be a little more open about how they're doing it or have less rules around it. So a few years back, as a practitioner, I decided that it would be nice to have a framework to standardize private practice sliding scale. And that was when I started working on Open Path Psychotherapy Collective, which has become a nationwide organization of therapists who are in private practice who are providing sliding scale benefits for clients. So the way that I ended up standardizing my own private practice was by going through Open Path. And the way that essentially works is that I allow myself a couple slots in my practice, and then Open Path refers clients to me when I would like that. Right now, I have my sliding scale slots filled up. So on Open Path's website, I say that I'm no longer accepting new clients. But when that changes, I can change my status on Open Path and have new clients come in through them.
So it's almost like a two-part. One is that you figure out the number of clients that you want to have on a sliding scale, and then you collaborate with Open Path to fill those slots.
That's right.
And then I guess in what you're saying is then at some point, then you can always change it depending on if slots open up and things like that.
Exactly. So the way that I determine when I'm going to see people on a sliding scale, I know that there are some people who are really, really mathematically inclined in terms of how they make this decision. Mm-hmm. And they have these algorithmic minds and spreadsheets that sync up with their budgets, and they know exactly what they can bring in and how much they need at the end of each month. And I have a lot of respect for these people because my mind does not work that way at all. And I'm often in awe of people who run practices that way. The way that I typically do it is I'm much more intuitive in terms of when I decide who I'm going to see and how I decide it. And I basically look at my relationship with money at a given time. I look at my relationship with my workload. In other words, how stressed or how not stressed I am. And then I look at the particular client in question. I work with people. I typically do long-term work with people, and I'm always open to the fact that this client that comes into my office might be someone who I'll know and have a deepening relationship with for many years. So I take those three things into account. And if I feel like I'm not stressed about money, if I feel like I'm not stressed with my workload, and if it feels like it's the right match for a particular client, then I'll be much more inclined to see someone on a sliding scale.
Yeah, I like that kind of the three-factor approach that you're approaching. Just a thought, so whenever you said a lot of your clients tend to be more long-term, so hypothetically, what would happen? I guess this could happen whether it was a sliding scale or a regular client, but as let's say, you know, you're working with some of these clients long-term and you, for example, let's say that your relationship with money changes at some point, right? Or you start feeling more stressed out. So how do you account for those factors, knowing that you tend to work longer with clients?
Well, there's sort of two answers for that. The first is that if I contract with somebody at a given rate, then I might increase that rate at the end of a year or start the conversation of increasing it. Mm-hmm. But if something happens in the middle of a year and suddenly I become stressed about money, I wouldn't go to a client and try to renegotiate the rate at that point. I do think that the rate is a very, very important thing to bring into the therapeutic relationship. And I don't think a lot of therapists do this enough. So for me, it's really important to talk about money and to talk about the rate. And right now I have two clients who started with OpenPath at a $30 rate. Mm-hmm. And this was 3 years ago. And now they're both paying $50. Mm-hmm. As we've gone on, they're in a place where they're able to do it. And we were able to negotiate the rate up in a way that made sense for everybody.
You started to mention this a little earlier, and this might be a completely silly question, so forgive me, but how do you determine what percentage of your practice that you want to have sliding scale? And I guess almost answering it from both the perspective of when you were first starting out in private practice and also now.
Yeah, so when I was first starting out, it just made complete sense for me to have more people come in on a lower fee because, like I said, if I had at any given time five clients in my caseload, say, that's a lot of hours to spend not seeing clients. Mm. So at the time, I saw it as, well, this is something that I'm doing, which is giving something back to my community. And of course, I'm getting something from it. I'm getting the $30 to $50 from the client, which was helpful at that point in time. And also, it was helpful for me to gain that experience working with people. So in the beginning, it made a lot of sense for me to see more. And then what I've done is what therapists typically do in my experience. As I've gotten busier and busier, I've lowered that number down. So now, like I said earlier, I sort of check in with where I'm at. And if it feels like I'm in this place where the stars are aligned in this way, then I will take somebody new on. But I'm very careful and I'm very curious before I make the decision.
And then, Paul, like when you were first starting out, and how did you balance having, you know, needing to see clients with realizing that, you know, there are certain things that you needed to do to grow your practice and market your practice in order to see perhaps some of those like the clients that could afford to pay those higher fees? I don't know if that makes sense, but so initially when you first started out your private practice, you said you kind of took a perspective of I'm going to see several hours of on a sliding scale, right? Mm-hmm. So how did you still find enough time to see like or market so that your practice could be filled with clients that perhaps could afford higher fees?
Right. Well, in a 40-hour work week, there was plenty of time to make sure that I could do both. I think this is probably the blessing and the curse of everyone starting a private practice is that the blessing is that there's a lot of time to market one's practice. And of course, the curse is that there's a lot of time that one spends not seeing clients in the beginning. And I think you probably know this better than I do. So much of the process of becoming successful in private practice is tolerating that insecurity and believing that that will shift, which I think it generally does for most.
Okay. Yeah, I think I misunderstood that. So you definitely had a good number of folks that you were seeing sliding scale, but you also had a good number of hours that you had available to building the practice and marketing and all that stuff. And then what would you say in terms of just, you know, having worked with clinicians on OpenPath, and what would you see as a common kind of struggle that clinicians have when it comes to incorporating sliding scale into a practice?
Well, I think it's finding the right balance and finding the right balance in the beginning when people are really, really hungry and ready to see anybody, and then carefully navigating that balance as one's practice starts to fill up. Some therapists are very clear with their philosophical standpoint when it comes to seeing sliding scale clients. And even when they get really filled up, they will maintain a few spots open, and others are not that clear. And what we do with OpenPath is we help many people start private practices. And then once they fill up, they move on their way and they stop seeing low fee clients. And for me, that's really okay. I'm not in business to make people feel bad about not seeing sliding scale clients. So the way I see it with OpenPath is that we're all working together, and in the process, we're giving back to our communities so that when someone's building their practice and they need us, that is great. And when they decide to move on, that is great also. We always are very grateful for what they did while they were with us.
How do you think offering sliding scale has, in your practice, has changed you both as a clinician and as a person?
Well, the first thing that I think of is clients who I've been seeing for many years who I would never have seen if I was charging my full fee or if I was charging even $80 a session. I never would have known these people, and there are relationships that are very meaningful to me right now and that I feel really grateful to have had and to still have in my life. So I'm quite thankful that I made that decision starting out. I'm quite thankful that I have these people in my life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the element that I think sometimes we forget about, right? Like, these are real people's lives and people's that we're partaking in, you know, as clinicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my life is much richer for it.
You know, Paul, I feel like we kind of jumped right in and talking about OpenPath, but maybe we should take a step back. And if you could just explain exactly what OpenPath is and what your vision was in creating it and what your vision is for the future for it.
Sure. So when I started really thinking about OpenPath, that was right at that point in my own career launching my private practice where I was filled up and I couldn't afford to take on anyone new at a slotting scale rate. And someone called me and she was feeling very desperate and she couldn't afford therapy and she didn't have insurance. And I had to turn her away. And not only did I turn her away, but I didn't feel like I had a place where I could refer her to get the services that she was looking for. So it got me thinking that wouldn't it be great if there was a place online where people looking for sliding scale therapy could go find a therapist that they would like to work with and receive the same kind of quality in-office psychotherapeutic care that someone with really good insurance or a lot of money in their pocket would be able to access at any time. So that sort of launched the idea. And after a lot of different iterations in 2013, we launched. And the way that it works is that we ask a therapist to see a minimum of one client at a rate that ranges between $30 and $50 a session. The client pays the nonprofit, so we're a nonprofit organization, and the client pays us a one-time lifetime membership fee of $49. And after that, they can see any therapist in our network. We started slowly. However, in 3 years now, we have 2,000 therapists signed on in 47 different states. And we just connected our 3,000th client to affordable care. So things are going great. Our therapists tend to be really happy. We try to cut out any and all red tape. It's a really simple process for therapists to join. We provide a lot of member benefits for therapists who are our members. And then once we connect the client with the therapist, we remove ourselves from the relationship completely. We never ask for information. We never ask for reporting. As far as we're concerned, our role at that point is done.
Yeah, it's simply to connect the clients who need the most help with amazing clinicians that want to do the work.
And we feel so grateful with the therapists who have signed on. It's quite inspiring because there are a lot of really, really wonderful, really talented people. And we're creating this community that's actually changing what's happening in terms of affordable mental health care in the country.
Paul, thank you so much for doing this. What are some of the best ways that folks can learn about you and learn more about OpenPath?
Sure. So our website for OpenPath is OpenPath Collective. That's OpenPathCollective.org. And that's the best place to go. If therapists or anyone out there goes to that website and ends up having questions, you can always contact us through the website.
Awesome. Paul, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks, Melvin. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey there, hope you enjoyed my conversation with Paul. I feel like this idea of sliding scale, it's something that we should definitely have conversations about and how to incorporate that into your private practice. You know, I was thinking like a few weeks ago, I had this conversation with Tiffany McLean all about the fears and some of the things about setting up private practice fees. And one of the things that she had talked about was thinking a little bit differently about sliding scale. And she presented just a little bit different perspective. And my goal with the podcast is to really give you all sorts of different perspectives. I feel like the more I do this podcast, the more I realize that there are certain things that work really well, but in the overwhelming majority of things, it really depends on what resonates for you and what really sits with you. Again, you can find more information about some of the great work that Paul is doing at openpathcollective.org. If you have successfully incorporated sliding scale fees or you're thinking about how to incorporate that, I encourage you to come over to the Selling the Couch community. It's an awesome group. You can find it at sellingthecouch.com/community. And we'd love to hear from you and would love to support you and most importantly, learn from one another. Show notes to today's episode can be found at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 75. As we wrap up, if you are interested in starting a podcast or it's been a lot on your mind, I encourage you to check out one of the upcoming workshops that I have. They're absolutely free. You can actually text the word pod workshop, P-O-D, and then workshop, all one word, to 44222. And that'll get you signed up. Or if you're outside of the United States and would just prefer to sign up manually, you can go to sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop, all one word. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to today's episode, and have a great rest of your week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.
So if you've been listening to the STC podcast for a while, or you've been listening to podcasts and you've had this thought of, Mel, I would love to launch my own podcast in order to grow my business, just wanted to encourage you to check out our free podcasting workshop, which is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcasting workshop. You can basically sign up at a day and a time that works for you. It's 90 minutes. And when I do these workshops or when I record them, I truly believe in quality teaching, so it's going to be well worth your time. We're going to go through gear recommendations and how to launch strategically and how to think about monetizing your podcast and how to line up your podcast with your existing offers and how to do it strategically and authentically and not salesy and slimy and all of those things. So again, the link is over at sellingthecouch.com/podcastingworkshop.